He's got a beautiful backswing.
Dad, oh, he got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Oh my God, you had to deal with the golf course people too!
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know?
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the 73rd Hole. Colby Powell and Taylor Williams with you as always. Glad everyone is with us as we get ready for the Travelers Championship this week. Should be another great week on the PGA Tour with another great deep field. Once again, search 73rd Hole on social media. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Search 73rd Hole and you will find us. Also, go ahead and rate and subscribe this podcast wherever you are listening. Okay, let's dive in a little bit to the Travelers here, Taylor. Actually, you know what? Scratch that. Let's not dive into the Travelers. Let's dive right into the Ryder Cup, which all rumors indicate will not be played in 2020. No official announcement yet, as we still await that, but all of the rumors, all of the reports are that it will be pushed back to 2021 and that the President's Cup will subsequently move to even-numbered years. So as opposed to just playing them both next year, they'll kind of do what they did after 9/11, where they backed the Ryder Cup up a year, and the President's Cup kind of fell in line, backed up a year as well. So, you know, a little bit disappointing to not see the Ryder Cup this year, but I understand, you know, everyone who would be a part of it, all the big players and captains and everything, all the guys who've been a part of it, have said pretty much, you know, if there's no fans, there's no Ryder Cup.
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, it's, you know, us as golf fans, this is kind of the worst case scenario when it comes to the Ryder Cup, you know, because, you know, even watching it, you know, we talked about how we didn't want fans, you know, if there wasn't fans there, it wouldn't be the same thing. But at the same time, you know, it's, I would much rather have watched a Ryder Cup with no fans and then just postpone it a year, and then we have it next year, and then the President's Cup follows in after that. Because, you know, we had made the topic, or at least the discussion, of potentially maybe having both in the same year and then just having back-to-back Ryder Cups in years, and apparently the logistics behind that weren't going to work. I guess we might have been living in some type of fantasy world to believe that may have happened. I didn't think it was too far out of the realm of possibility.
I still think it's the play, but they're not going to do it.
They're not going to do it.
I didn't think they would do it from the beginning, even when we were talking about it, but I still think it's the best idea I've heard.
Yeah, and so, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we're kind of seeing the spikes go back up. We've already had, we can get a little bit more into it, Cameron Champ and Graham McDowell's caddy have both tested positive for the virus, along with Nick Watney, who was the first. So now we're unfortunately getting a few more names added to it. So now we're trying to need to definitely lean on the side of caution as opposed to being adventurous and just trying to get out there and play. So for safety reasons, it's definitely the best thing to do to not play, and to have a Ryder Cup without fans would not be right at all. It would just be very melodramatic. But at the same time, you know, to not have any team event this year, you know, even with fans or not, is a little bit disheartening.
Yeah, no doubt. It'd be a little weird to crown a champ with no fans for a Ryder Cup. Speaking of champ, Cameron Champ tested positive, second player on the PGA Tour to test positive for the coronavirus. Also, Graham McDowell's caddy tested positive for the coronavirus. So,
now, I know. Champ did not play last week. Did McDowell play last week?
That's a good question. I think he did.
I think he did, too.
I think he usually plays that event.
I don't want to mislead, but we'll make sure to look that up. So just to put it in perspective, you know, how much at risk the players this week may be. McDowell has already withdrawn. McDowell has not tested positive for the virus, but he rode, I was listening this morning, said he rode in a car with them for about 5 or 6 hours. So they were suspect that he may, you know, be, what's the word, Colby? Gosh dang it, it's slipping my mind. Where it's in your system, but you don't have it.
You're asymptomatic.
Asymptomatic, yeah. Exactly. So they think that he may be that. And so, like I said, you always want to lean on the side of caution with these deals, so McDowell's already withdrawn for the tournament. But it's unfortunate to see that these things are happening. These players, Champ, obviously did not play last week, so you know, he wasn't in the kind of group with the players at last week at Harbortown, so maybe there won't be as much risk for some of those guys. But, you know, just anytime you see anyone get this, no matter really who it is, it's really disheartening. And you just want to pray and hope that the people that get it and their families are able to get through it the best they can. I mean, we've seen even bigger stars, you know, like Novak Djokovic in tennis and his wife,
yeah,
you know, have it now, you know. So, and it's just kind of, we've seen across the line, you know, states, the numbers are going back up. So everyone, you know, just make sure to stay cautious. And, you know, hopefully, I mean, we were listening to PGA Tour Radio video yesterday after our round at Bushwood that we'll get into later on in the show. But, you know, they were having a discussion of, you know, what at what point, you know, would the PGA Tour consider shutting back down if there were so many cases, you know? And, it's a fair question to bring up, you know, would, you know. You know,
we're certainly not there yet. No. I think it'd take a while, but. It could happen.
You know, it's just like, when is the threshold? You know, like right now we're at, if you include players and caddies, you know, we're at three, and I don't know if they disclosed any media members that may have tested positive and not done that, so I'm not including anything like that. We're just going off of the numbers that have been reported. So, you know, at what point would they, you know, is it 15 players? Is it 25 players? Is it 50 players? You know, at what point would they say, you know, we got to shut this back down for a few more weeks? And then even at the same possibility, does this potentially move back the date of Muirfield where we start having fans back at these tournaments?
Yeah, that's a really good question as far as getting fans back out there, because we are seeing some more spikes in some places as things have reopened, which was somewhat expected. I mean, that's kind of what you're going to get whenever you get more people interacting in a closed space. I think for the tour, the biggest thing is to make sure that no one on the charter flight has it. Because, I mean, you put those guys in a tube, you send them 30,000 feet in the air. If one of those guys has coronavirus, that thing could spread like wildfire in a charter flight, because there are nowhere for those germs and all those, you know, molecules, whatever, to go in an airplane. So hopefully they can keep it off the charter flight, which should theoretically keep it from spreading like wildfire, because when they're at the course and stuff, I mean, you're outside most of the time. Obviously they don't have like 6-foot markers to keep each other that far away, but most of the time you're not real close to people whenever you're walking around to golf.
And you've been seeing it at the end of rounds, you know, traditionally you handshake, take the head off, handshake, everyone's just doing either elbow bumps or fist bumps, that kind of thing.
So, sometimes,
you know,
they're even just kind of miming them across the green.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, they're taking that interaction out of it, which is good. And but yeah, just it's an interesting question, you know, both the ones we bring up. You know, at what point would the tour consider shutting it back down, which hopefully, you know, just not even just for a sports watching sake, hopefully just not enough people get the illness, you know, to where that would be the case.
Breaking news, 1 minute ago, this just came out as we're recording, Brooks Koepka is withdrawing from the Travelers Championship this week after his caddy has now tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh, no.
There's a big name. Nick Watney, WDs, okay. Cameron Champ, WDs, okay. Now, Brooks Koepka hasn't tested positive yet, but his caddy tested positive, so now Brooks will be tested.
One thing to note there, too, Brooks will be tested, but also, too, Brooks' brother, Chase Koepka, Monday qualified into this event, and Brooks was out watching Chase
He'll
on Monday.
So he
should have to be tested, too, and probably Chase's caddy as well. So this is...
Oh, I'm going to feel horrible for Chase if he has it. Yeah, I mean, if you Monday qualify into a PGA event and then you can't play, that'd be
heartbreaking. Yes. Yeah, because he won. The story I was reading, he shot 5 under or shot 67 and won. It was a 5-man playoff for 2 spots, so he was able to grind it out and get in, because they made a pretty cool story about how Brooks was out there watching. So yeah, breaking news there. Obviously, very horrible, and this could be leading to, like we were just talking about a few minutes ago, could this be the snowball effect that makes this, you know?
And let's hope not. I've got a quote from Koepka here. His name's Ricky Elliott, is Brooks Koepka's caddy, tested positive for COVID-19 this morning, on Wednesday morning at TPC River Highlands, and he had previously tested negative 48 hours earlier. So he'd been tested on Monday, it was negative, tested positive on Wednesday morning. So Brooks Koepka said, quote, "I'm going to pull out to protect everybody else. I think it's the right thing to do. I don't want to risk anyone's life if they have respiratory issues or underlying conditions. The only way this tour can continue is if guys do this sort of thing and be proactive about it." So certainly seems like Brooks Koepka is doing the right thing. Brooks Koepka also said, "We all got tested Monday. Myself, Claude Harmon, of course, his swing coach, and Ricky Elliott. We all came back negative. We had no symptoms, nothing." And then obviously this happened on Wednesday morning. But it sounds like Brooks Koepka being very proactive, trying to do the smart thing. And what I like is what he said there at the end. The only way this tour can continue is if guys do this sort of thing and be proactive about it. Now, it's much easier for a Brooks Koepka to do that, who doesn't have to worry about whether he has a job next week. Some of these lower guys who are trying to make their way on tour, it's a lot tougher to just say, you know what, I'll sit this week out. I can get back at it next week whenever, no big deal. But all the respect to Brooks Koepka for doing the right thing and pulling out as soon as his caddy tested positive to make sure that he's not putting anyone else in harm's way.
Yeah, I don't think there's any other way that you could go about it, in all honesty. And like I said, props to Brooks, and hopefully that – you know, just from the fact that, you know, Chase was able to Monday qualify, like we mentioned, how many ever times and all the guests that we've had on how hard it is to get out onto the big tour, and all of a sudden you get out there with a chance to compete, and then you would have to withdraw for a virus would be extremely detrimental. But, you know, just like we said, hopefully this isn't the snowball effect that leads to either the tour shutting down. I think that, in all honesty, what we'll probably end up seeing from this is that the fans will get pushed back from Muirfield Village, I think, or at the Memorial. I don't think we'll see fans at that tournament. I think that will continue to keep getting pushed back. I don't know at what point, what number-wise they would say for the players' sake that it would be. I honestly think it would take probably double-digit number of players or caddies in one week.
John McGinnis said yesterday on PGA Tour Radio was, we still, you know, in a normal week, you have four or five withdrawals in a normal week anyway. So until you're having more withdrawals from Corona than you would have from guys having a sprained wrist or a sprained ankle, then they're not going to shut it down. It becomes whenever you have double that many, triple that many, quadruple that many. And then at some point, basically, if you have a limited field because of Corona, then it's not worth doing it.
Exactly.
It's a handful of guys, you're fine. But if all of a sudden you've got half your normal field you would have, it's like, okay, there's no point in doing it at that
right
at that
time. And you know, we had talked about, you know, with like Rian Gibson, you know, and how some of these players are, you know, aren't even able to, you know, because there's so many people wanting to get out there and play, you know, so there's, you know, there's essentially, you know, alternate list, waiting lists, and all this stuff that's going on. So I don't know exactly how that would all play out, but at the same time, you know, it's just sad to see these things. You know, obviously we want it to go in the opposite direction than it has been over the last couple, you know, over the last week or so, you know, with Nick Watney testing positive and all that, because we didn't have any positive tests at Colonial, from my understanding. So
yeah, did not have any at Colonial. First one was Nick Watney.
Yeah, so we were about a week into it, and hopefully, you know, like I talked about on Monday how well the PGA Tour was doing on our show, and hopefully I didn't give the ultimate announcer's jinx and steer us in the wrong direction, but I don't believe in things like that. But at the same time, like I said, it's just horrible, and hopefully Brooks's caddy is going to be okay, and hopefully everyone can just do their best to stay healthy. And, you know, after we get past talking about all the sad stuff, we're going to get into, you know, our picks and what we see this week, because, I mean, it's still, even with Brooks withdrawn, still a very loaded field, and it's going to be a really exciting tournament to watch.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm reading about these Whoop straps, and Justin Thomas wearing them. And I don't know exactly what they do. You know, some guys wear them.
It's essentially an advanced Fitbit. So it'll track, what it does is it tracks your sleep extensively. It tracks your recovery. So for example, if you have it'll track what you did during the day. That's why you'll see players like JT and Rory wearing them on the course. So what they do is they'll wear them, and it's similar to like a mobile app on your Fitbit. It'll track, you know, how well your body recovered from the exercise or the stress that it did. That way, you know how to recover the next day more better than you would from just any other traditional exercise. I'm not sure exactly, because I saw the exact same thing earlier, Colby, where it gave an indicator that he had the virus before he had it. I'm not sure exactly what detail that was that led to that, but in all reality, Whoop that's essentially what a Whoop device is, and it's essentially just a way to track your recovery from working out or exercising or in competition, tournaments, things like this. So when, like for example, if a player has a very strenuous Thursday, they know to rest a little bit more in the evening or whatever, so they'll be ready to go Friday, and that way they can keep their body healthy, ready the rest of the week. And you know, something to make players mandatory wear them, you know, it's great for Whoop, you know, that'll definitely be a great marketing tool for them, but at the same time, you know, it's more of a forceful thing. So I guess, you know, if you want to play, and if there is a, like I said, I don't know the exact metric that was used to track Watney's Corona that he had it before that he actually was tested positive, but if there is a sufficient way to make sure that is done correctly, I think that is the best way to go forward. But at the same time, you know, I mean, it is a thing on your wrist, and honestly, some players may not play the same with some, you know, little bitty things, you know, going on your body make you feel so much different. You know, like I can't play with a watch on.
No, I can't either.
You know, so I don't know. I mean, they're not very light. You know, I mean, it's like you remember the old, I think they still make them, like the old Tryon Z bands.
Yes.
You remember those?
Yeah.
It probably feels similar to that. So
yeah,
maybe
that wouldn't be too bad.
But at the same time, you know, there's those guys that are, you know, they're either really superstitious, they're like you, where they're not superstitious, just a little stitious. Just a little stitious. So, you know, maybe that might affect people. And but at the same time, you know, we're trying to protect everyone here. So if there is a clear-cut way that the Whoop device is able to track that corona and maybe pinpoint it before it's actually there, then I think it is a smart thing to do.
Yeah, so the reason that I remembered the Whoop and brought it up is because they released a statement on Twitter about 20 minutes ago, right before we heard about Brooks Koepka. And here's the statement from the CEO and founder of Whoop, Will Ahmed. He said, "I can confirm that the PGA Tour has procured over 1,000 Whoop straps for all PGA Tour, Korn Ferry, and Champions Tour players, caddies, employees, and media to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. We are rapidly onboarding everyone in the PGA Tour universe and respect the measures that they are taking to keep the tour safe." So it certainly seems like they're going above and beyond to do everything they can to try to make sure that they can prevent the spread of COVID-19 and keep everybody out on the golf course. So we certainly appreciate all the measures that the tour is taking. We appreciate the fact that Brooks Koepka was so proactive to immediately withdraw from the tournament and not try to get himself a test, and maybe something pops up later in the week.
Same to Graham McDowell too, did the same thing yesterday.
Yep, yeah, his caddy got it and he withdrew as well. So a few guys won't be in the field this week, but again, you commend the steps that everyone is taking to try to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Yeah, and you say Brooks is a big name. I think you have the odds in front of you, Kobe, but on DraftKings, he was the fourth most expensive player this week and had been playing pretty well since the break had come back. So, you know, this is
he's high up in the power rankings, 20-1 this week, betting odds.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure some people laid a little bit of coin on him at some point to do that, so I'm sure they'll get a refund there. So just make sure that, you know, if you are doing your DraftKings lineups or maybe you submitted one early, you know, earlier in the week, make sure you get on there and triple check and make sure that no one has either not shown up or, you know, just make sure Brooks isn't in your lineup.
I'd be really curious. So if I'd gotten on Monday onto Bovada or something and put $20 on Brooks Koepka, I'm really curious as to if that money gets refunded or if your guy withdraws if you lose your money.
I would think that it would have to, because the tournament hasn't started yet. You know what I'm saying? I would assume that with the competition starting, then, because, you know, it's similar to, I mean, you have a betting podcast yourself, so, you know, you might be able to explain it more than I do, but, like, if you bet on a game that gets canceled, you know, or whatever, then, or, like, a team, and then, like I said, the game, like, for example, game gets rained out or something like that, you know, then I would assume that you would get your refund. But at the same time, you know, there's those, and I think it works the same way for like win totals. Like if you bet over 7.5 wins for a college football team, and for example, was it last year, 2 years ago, where they had all the hurricanes? So like each team had like a game canceled. Do you remember that, Colby, when that happened?
Yes.
College football?
Yes.
So all of a sudden, you know, each team has one less game to play, so they essentially just scrapped all the odds. So that's a very interesting question you pose up. I would be really shocked if that didn't happen. But there is a reason that Vegas keeps building all those buildings instead of tearing them down.
Yes, absolutely. Vegas, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. They did not make a profit on the 73rd hole last week, though. The 73rd hole was profitable last week against Vegas, which makes Vegas still profitable on the season over the 73rd hole, no doubt about it. So, all right, that's enough about COVID. I want to remind everybody about McCray Roofing. You've got to have McCray Roofing at the top of your list. Jeff McCray, friend of the show and owner of McCray Roofing, views your roof like a canvas. Their commitment to craft is what defines McCray Roofing and Exteriors. Call McCray Roofing today at 405-692-4000 or visit them online at McCrayRoofing.com. Taylor, let's talk about the Travelers Championship and the guys who are in the field, because even without Brooks Koepka, this is still going to be a loaded field. You've got Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau, Justin Thomas, Webb Simpson, John Rahm. Those are kind of the biggest names at the top that are in the field this week. Dustin Johnson also in the field, but he's lost his top five world ranking. So he's dropped out just a little bit. Patrick Cantlay making his first start since the restart. So what are some of the bigger storylines you're looking forward to this week at the Travelers in the third week back in the return from the quarantine, from the break?
Yeah, this is, it's always an interesting tournament, this TPC River Highlands. You know, we remember, you know, we've had some great moments like Spieth holing out of the bunker, you know, maybe not so great for us, but for the Spieth fans out
certainly
there.
Certainly not great for Daniel Berger.
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, he was not the biggest fan of that, but we've had some great finishes there. And also it's a course that has had, you know, it's kind of a horses for courses type place. You know, people like Bubba Watson, Paul Casey, Mark Leishman have had tremendous records there. And this is also where Jim Furyk shot the PGA Tour record 58 at. that. I believe it was, I can't remember what year it was. It was a few years ago now. I can't remember the exact year.
Google Jim Furyk 58.
Well, what's funny about it is he shot the 58 and he finished, I don't even.
2016.
And I don't, we'd have to pull up the leaderboard, but I don't even think he finished in the top five whenever he shot that because he was so far back to start the day, which is kind of interesting. But nevertheless, there's a lot of good storylines that go on with this tournament. I believe it's 14 or 15 at the course is one of the best drivable par fours in the world. So it's always interesting to see those guys play that. And at the same time, you know, this is, like we've mentioned, this is a more loaded field than we see traditionally just because of, you know, it's the third event back since everything started. So I think there's a lot of storylines, you know, like someone like Rory, who's he's made the cut at both events since the return, but hasn't really played very well. Justin Thomas is playing phenomenally. Webb Simpson coming off of the win. Abraham Answer has been playing phenomenally since the return. And so, yeah, I'm interested to see those storylines. We can get into a couple of our other picks later on in the show. But, you know, really the thing that I've noticed off of the last few years at this course is that it's one of their trickier courses from around the greens statistically. So it's a pretty prominent course to where you want to be able to hit the greens to be able to putt because it can be a little bit tricky to get up and down around there. And then also from the analytics, it's a really difficult course from the what they call the red zone, which is about anywhere past 170 yards up until about 220 yards, 175 to 225, somewhere in that range. So the guys that are able to perform to hit the good long iron shots and who are able to hit the greens, I think are going to have a big advantage here. And so that's why for my ideal DraftKings lineup and a lot of players I like this week lean more towards the ball striking side and people who are also in form as well from these previous two events.
Yeah, so Jim Furyk shot that 58 in 2016. He had also shot a 59 in 2013 at the BMW Championship, both in non-winning efforts.
Is that not something?
Yeah, in 16 when he shot the 58, he made the cut on the number. He had to make an 8-footer for par on his 18th hole on Friday to make the cut on the number. He was 16 back of the leaders when he teed off on Sunday. So even after a 58, he was in the clubhouse, still 4 off the lead before the leaders even teed off.
Good Lord, that's crazy. But he is the only player to shoot sub 60 twice, and he hits it. You know, he's the definition of a non-bomber, you know. So it's like, you know, people talk about how the game has transcended to a spot, and even there was a Spieth quote the other day talking about how, you know, the rough, he thinks the rough should be increased just because bombers are taking such advantage, which I thought was interesting because even the Spieth isn't long. He's in the rough a decent amount here in the last few years. So I thought that was a pretty funny comment. But at the same time, yeah, I think that, you know, these guys who are able to transcend on the ball striking will have a better week this week. And someone like Furyk, who, you know, is fairly short, but he's straight, accurate. If he's putting it on the greens, able to make the putts, you know. So I just expect the people who are really good iron players, I think, are the ones that we'll see succeed this week.
Yeah, absolutely. That's Taylor Williams. I am Colby Powell. Looking at some of the guys in the field this week, like you said, horses for courses. You look at a guy like Bubba Watson. Bubba Watson's won here three times since 2010. He won in 2010, 2015, and 2018. He has three more top tens and a couple more top fives here, top five in 2012 and 2013, finished sixth all the way back in 2008. Only one missed cut here. He's played it every year since 2008. So you talk about horse for course, Bubba Watson, and he's been playing. I kind of like Bubba this week. I like that form. I like the price on DraftKings at 8,800 and the odds. He's 32-1. So
32 to 1 is pretty good odds for Bubba. And I mean, he finished seventh at Charles Schwab, kind of backdoor to 52nd place finish. We had talked about him and Wesley Bryan playing on that final round, kind of having just some laughter and some jokes, that type of thing. So I think that he's got a little bit of form because if there's any course on the tour that wouldn't suit Bubba's game, I would think it would be Harbortown, just from a, you know, visual perspective, so I can understand that. But already got a seventh place finish, always played well here. Definitely someone I think that, you know, you could roster in DraftKings and not expect to miss. Because, like I said, he's missed a cut here once in how many ever trips, 12 or something like that. So I definitely think he would be someone worth rostering for sure. And at 32-1, that's really good odds for someone who's won here three times.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then Paul Casey, you know, not as many wins. When I say not as many, I mean zero. But he's played here the last 5 years, Four of those 5 years, he's been in the top five with a pair of runner-up finishes. His worst finish in the last 5 years, only time he's been outside the top five, he finished 17th back in 2016. So this is a guy who hasn't played. We didn't see him at Charles Schwab. We didn't see him last week at the Heritage. So you're kind of taking a leap of faith with Paul Casey that he's going to be playing good golf after not playing a tournament for 4 months. But the guy clearly likes the golf course.
Yeah, definitely another horses for courses. And go ahead and do a spoiler alert. He will be my one and done pick in our pool this week. And because I picked him in our.
I muted my mic. He is not my one and done pick, but he is in my DraftKings lineup.
Yes, but good. So I'll use him for both our one and done pool and then our official one and done pool. So more than likely, he's probably cursed and probably finished worse than he's ever finished at this tournament.
You got a top 10 from DeChambeau last week. A lot better than my missed cut with Sungjae. God, well, I'm not over it.
Well,
it's only been 3 days.
Well,
I need more time.
Well, DeChambeau. And, you know, I realized looking up earlier that, you know, we talked about how bad of a Saturday he had. You know, I was looking up earlier. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but he has one of the lower or worse, I guess would be the way to phrase it, Saturday scoring average rounds, which might be something to look.
Who does say that again? I was reading
DeChambeau,
my numbers here.
DeChambeau,
okay.
Yeah, so I think that'll be something to look forward to because, you know, he's in my ideal DraftKings lineup this week pretty heavy just because I have a lot of good value plays under 7,000 that I think will end up making a cut who have either played well here or are playing well in these first two events. So I think that would be a way to go. But for DeChambeau, you know, I think that, you know, if he that it will be something to monitor if he is able to get up close to the top of the leaderboard like he has almost every event, you know, in the first two rounds, how he handles that Saturday, because it seems like that's been something that has been a problem for him, kind of similar to Rory on Sundays and for Ricky on the weekends, you know, that type of thing, you know. So maybe it's a mental thing more than anything, just because, you know, people consider it moving day when technically it's really not, but at the same time, you know, it could, like I said, just be mental. So that'll be something to watch for Bryson if he's able to get up there on Friday after the cut's set and done and see how he handles the weekend from there.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how he tries to play the course too. Last week, you know, at Colonial, we were really enjoying just watching him take monster hacks and try to go 190 on the ball speed. Not a lot of opportunities to do that at Harbortown, but I was seeing this story earlier on golfchannel.com about Bryson trying to drive the 420-yard 17th hole during Travelers practice. You know, it's always 420 somewhere, and at Travelers, it's on the 17th hole. So Bryson, I mean, you know, trying to drive a 420-yard par 4, maybe if you're a little bit downhill. I don't think he was able to do it. He hit 198 miles per hour on the ball speed while trying to drive it in the practice. 198. Still couldn't get it there, but
198. Obviously, we haven't seen anything posted like that from him in competition, so it'd be interesting to see if he'll be able to unleash that. I think the highest I've seen maybe is in the 191 or something like that. Did you see one that was
the highest I've seen at Colonial was 189. Bryson has said that he has aspirations of reaching 195 in competition. Yeah. So this could be the week.
He can get over 200 on the range.
Yes.
There's been videos of that. So, yeah, to do it in competition is entirely different. So I think for DeChambeau, like I said, he's in my ideal lineup. Just been playing so well. I don't see a way that he doesn't get to the weekend. I worry about him on the Saturdays because, like I said, we had mentioned last week he was the only player after Saturday's round in the top 35 at Harbortown to not shoot two under or better. And so I think Saturday for DeChambeau, especially if he's in the top, you know, top 10, will be a big indicator for him on how not necessarily even how he'll do this tournament, but even how he goes going forward, because if these Saturday woes keep going, you know, all of a sudden it can start ingraining in your head and be a mental thing, even more so than it potentially is now.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on this too. So Bubba Watson earlier this week, when was this? Yesterday, I think. Bubba Watson said that playing with some guys, he was asked about getting paired with guys and whether that matters to him at all. And this is what he said. He said it matters tremendously. There's guys that are a shot, maybe a two-shot penalty when you see their name on that sheet. He said he went on to say maybe that's what they say about me too, so I guess it works both ways.
Go ahead.
No, I was sorry. Just gonna say, so this week he's paired on Thursday and Friday with Sung Kang and Wesley Bryan, and we saw he and Wesley Bryan cutting up last week at Harbortown, so maybe Bubba Watson is gonna like his pairing for a guy who's already won here three times, you know, a guy who clearly it matters to him who he gets paired with. Mm-hmm. That's probably a pairing that he's gonna like.
That's good too. And I saw where you made the comment. I didn't get in depth into it as you're just reading it there, because it would be a little misleading. misleading for me, because what you're implying is that it's a one or two shot penalty depending on if you like or don't like the guy, or depending on the one was playing. The way I interpret it was that because the way the PGA Tour slow pace of play policy is that, you know, if you play with someone who's too slow, you could be potentially deemed a penalty stroke. And I thought that's what he was implying.
No, he was implying that if you have to play with some guys just because of the energy in the group. And I mean, he even went on to say, he said, you see a certain name, you know, you can joke around, you know, you can have fun and kind of get away from the stress and not talking and just walking down the fairway. I mean, he was definitely implying that there are guys on the tour that he really doesn't like playing with, and that it's a two-shot penalty if he sees their name on the sheet.
Well, there was, I can't remember how many years ago now, it was a little bit back, ESPN did a poll. I think it was ESPN. It was a random poll. They have how many ever random tour pros, and, you know, random questions like favorite course, you know, and the one we're getting to here is least favorite golfer, and Bubba Watson was the leader in that category. And Bubba even said to himself that he was hurt by that. You know, he wasn't necessarily offended, but he was hurt, saying that, you know, he never means to come off the way that he does, or rude or arrogant or anything like that. And I think we've seen that, you know, he's kind of opened up a little bit more since all of that happened. So I've become a little bit more of a Bubba fan than I was before. But at the same time, you know, someone like Bubba, because how many times have we talked about that? You know, if he likes a course, he's going to play really well. If he doesn't like the course before the week, he's probably going to miss the cut. And
not care.
Yeah, and he doesn't even have a chance, you know? So if Bubba already has in his head that playing with some guys is one or two shots worse, then if we're handicapping Bubba, I mean, obviously we know some people that he plays good with, like Wesley Bryan, but we might have to look going forward at his pairing, because if he has a bad pairing, that could influence how he plays just based off of his mental approach, like we just saw him say.
Yeah, and by the way, we need to put some respect on future Hall of Famer Bubba Watson's name, because Bubba Watson is a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame. We were talking about Webb on Monday. I mean, Bubba Watson's won 2 Masters. He's got 12 PGA Tour wins, and I think that, I don't know, for whatever reason, maybe it's because his best golf is certainly behind him. He's certainly on the downhill of his career. But, I mean, he was one of the best players in the world from 2012 through the end of 2014. He won 4 times, including 2 Masters. Won 3 times in 2018. So, I don't know. I feel like Bubba doesn't get the respect that he deserves for how good of a player he is. Maybe it's because he doesn't do it traditionally, you know, that lifts the foot up, plays the big boomerang slice. But the dude's a chew in for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you there. Like I said, 12 PGA Tour wins. Let's see whether he's got 2 other wins here. One was a charity event. Then he won the Hero, which is not considered an event, back in 2015. So, which is, you know, we give it to Tiger anytime he wins it. So we'll give it to Bubba there. And, you know, like we said, you look at this here, he is definitely a horses for courses type of guy, because he has 12 total wins, 3 of them at Travelers, 3 of them at the Genesis, and 2 of them at Augusta. So, you know, that's 8 of his 12 wins have all been at the same course.
That's phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So that's, and like I said, he tends to always play well in the Masters, really, no matter what form that he's in. And so this is just another one of those 3 courses where he tends to, where he's won 2 or 3 times. And so I think that, like I said, I don't think there's any reason to not pick him this week. And at the same time, yeah, going back to the Hall of Fame conversation, I think that, yeah, it would be foolish to not put him in there. I mean, you know, we talk about, he's on the downward slide of his career. I mean, he's according to looks right here, looks like he's 41 years old. So, I mean, you know, with how far he hits it, you know, maybe he might be able to have, he might have a little bit left in the tank.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not saying he can't win again. I think one of us on the show might pick him to win this week, but I'm just saying his best golf probably behind him. Usually you don't play your best golf in your 40s. Now we've seen Tiger and Phil both win in their 40s. I think Bubba definitely will win again. But I don't see him wasting any more major championship trophies or anything like
that. Well, it says right here in 2015, he got all the way up to number 2 in the world, you know? So, I mean, yeah, you know, I don't think he's going to get back up to that stage. So yeah, whenever you consider best golf behind him, you probably are correct there. But I'm just saying, you know, this isn't like a, you know, we can even talk him, which is really surprising to me, you know, someone like Phil, who just turned 50.
I don't think will win again.
No, and I looked early. He's 6,900 on draft.
6,900.
Is that not unbelievable? If you would have told me 6 months ago you could get Phil and DraftKings at 6,900, I would have said I'm going to pick him every single time. I don't care what course it is, you know, but not anymore.
And now you wouldn't touch him, you know, with a long drive competition driver.
I wouldn't. The only reason I would pick Phil is if I was I went very top heavy in a lineup and he was about 6,200.
Yeah, that'd be about the only way to do it. I mean, it's just, he's missed cut waiting to happen right now, and it's really kind of sad to see.
Yeah,
really,
I mean, he's missed the he didn't play RBC Heritage, but he missed Charles Schwab, and then the only time he's played here at the Travelers since 2008, he missed the cut. So, and I don't know if he had played before then. I have to go back and do a little bit more research. So, not any good experience here. Hadn't been playing well. I am definitely fading old Phil, but it's, you know, whenever you talk about fading, you know, he's someone who's 6,900. I would just say there's a lot of other great plays around that value, and even cheaper, who I think will do better.
See, I like how that came full circle. You got Bubba with the big fade, and then we're having the big fade on Phil.
Yeah. So that's good.
Big
good
fades play. Everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like it.
Big fades everywhere. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll both give you our ideal DraftKings lineups. Taylor will give you all of his best value a little bit lower down on DraftKings. I'll give you my best bets for the week, the guys who I'm going to play, and we'll give you some picks for our one and done. We'll get out of here. Stay with us on Wednesday on the 73rd hole.
When something the size of a golf ball hits your roof, you need to call McRae Roofing. McRae Roofing is Oklahoma's designer roofing service specialist. For years, Jeff McRae and the experienced team at McRae Roofing and Exteriors have served fellow Oklahomans by helping them with their roofing needs. McRae Roofing uses only top quality materials and professional crews to make sure that each job is done right, so it will give you the years of service, security, and protection you need from the unpredictable Oklahoma weather. McRae Roofing offers residential and commercial roofing, ventilation services, and custom copper designs. McRae Roofing is dedicated to exceeding the homeowner's expectations. It's not just a roof, it is your home's crowning glory. Call McRae Roofing today at 405-692-4000. That's 405-692-4000. Make sure to also visit their website at mcraeroofing.com. That's M-C-R-A-Y roofing.com. Don't get caught with a leaking roof. Contact McRae Roofing for your free inspection today.
Welcome back, everybody, to the 73rd hole. Colby Powell and Taylor Williams. Find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, 73rd hole. That's where you can always find the link to this podcast as well as much, much more. You can head on over to check out Bushwood on Facebook, Bushwood Country Club in Chickasha, Ouachita Valley coming up next week. We are a mere 8 days away from the practice round. Going to have a longest drive, a straightest drive, closest to the pin. A lot of fun challenges for the practice round. And then a three-day individual stroke play tournament. Going to be an absolute blast. Taylor, you and I went down and played yesterday. Course was in great shape. It's softened up a lot with the rain. Wind was out of the north yesterday. And I got my ass thoroughly kicked. Well, it was not even close.
Yeah, it was the the north wind definitely makes that course play differently. I think for the Ouachita Valley, it'd be a south wind. So the course would be a lot different than what we played yesterday. But yeah, it's coming in great shape. It's starting to lush up real nice. A lot of the greens are coming in really nicely. And yeah, we had a lot of fun. We were able to get around pretty fast yesterday too. We were very efficient. We played 32 holes in about 5 hours or so.
And yeah, we were moving.
And we played with my dad joined us for about 18, and then our old high school coach, Coach Randall, joined for the last nine, so it wasn't like we were just out there by ourselves either. You know, we were getting after it, baby.
Yeah, and I shot 78, which is a bit uninspiring on a par 70 golf course. Not my finest day. You played pretty well. What did you shoot, 65? Is that right?
I think 66. I think I was
66.
I think 4 under, yeah.
33?
I think so.
Okay. I thought I had you for 32 on the back, but I must have missed
that. Sounds a lot better, so we can say that.
Yeah, so. Okay. So 66, either way, pretty good round. I did not cover the 5.5 that the bookmaker set. Of course, if you're going to shoot 66, that's going to make that a lot more difficult. So, but I need to play better. I didn't play very well yesterday.
No, and you had that mental lapse we had brought up probably two times during, you know, let's pull up the Steve Ball podcast and talk about the mental approach here, you know. And so we were able to talk through some things, and I think that, you know, that's going to help both of us. You know, I think that, you know, you're kind of getting the bad things out of your system, and hopefully I feel like my game's peaking right at the right time. So this Ouachita Valley is going to be a hell of a time. And if you haven't signed up yet, make sure to call Bushwood and get signed up, because it's going to be one hell of a tournament.
Yeah, one thing yesterday is, you know, we were putting everything out. Because, you know, usually whenever you go out and play with your buddies, you lag it up to 2 feet, you give it to them, you knock it back. But in a tournament, you don't get to do that. So you take the tap ins for granted. And then you miss one in a tournament and you start kicking yourself. So I had like a 2-footer for par on the fifth hole. Took it for granted. Didn't go through my routine. Stepped up, yipped it, missed it. So ended up making bogey there. Immediately stepped up on 16 and hooked it out of bounds. And so it was just... Mental disaster.
You let the fumes build up and the pressure just kind of exploded.
Steve would have been disappointed.
He might be. He would give you a D minus, maybe an F on that. But at the same time, you know, like I said, we were talking about, you know, and this for anyone out there listening, you know, if you are just playing bad and having a bad day, you know, just learn how to get it in the hole. You know, learn to be able to post a score when you don't have your best stuff. And in all honesty, you had a really bad front nine, but your back nine ended up being fairly well, you know. So I think you did a pretty good job at that on the back of being able to rebound. But yeah, definitely call Bushwood and get your entry fee in. There's a waiting list on a lot of the lower flights. Some of the higher flights still have a little bit of availability left. So call down, check and see what it is, and make sure to get in because you will not be disappointed.
405-224-1250. 405-224-1250. Give them a call. Bushwood Golf and Country Club in Chickasha. All right, Taylor, let's dive in here. We need to give our ideal DraftKings lineups. Why don't we do it this way this week? Why don't we each go from most expensive to least expensive and rattle through our lineup? And I think we're going to have the same most expensive guy. So you go ahead and go first.
Yeah, the most expensive is, for me, is the second most expensive total on DraftKings is DeChambeau, like we were talking about earlier. The most expensive is Rory. Normally, I lean on him. Unfortunately, I'll pull up exactly what his finishes have been. He's finished 32nd and 41st since the return. He has a pretty decent record here at the Travelers when he's played. So
he played it twice, though.
That's the thing, but at the same time, hadn't finished outside worse than 17th.
Yeah, finished 17th in 2017, and then 12th in 2018. Those are the only two times he's played it. So
yeah. So if you were, do you have his betting odds there in front of you?
I do. Yeah, he's 12-1.
12-1. I mean, that might be, it's fairly low odds, but Rory's the type, he can come out and blow it away. So if you want to I wouldn't lay a massive amount of money on him to win. But you know, just a little bit at those odds wouldn't be fine. But for the most expensive on DraftKings, I'm going to go $200 cheaper and stick with DeChambeau.
Yeah, I'm going with Bryson as well. He's just playing so well right now. I think this course suits what he's trying to do a lot better. He's going to unleash the Kraken.
Well, it's like we mentioned, this course is really difficult from, you know, the 175 to 225 mark, and Bryson will not have as many opportunities at those yardages as some of these other guys because he's able to hit it past that.
Yeah, he's just going to be taking hacks, monster hacks. I'm way looking forward to watching Bryson this week just try to rip the cover off of the golf ball. So I've got Bryson at 11,000, so we'll do a little snake draft here. So my second most expensive guy that I've got is Bubba at 8,800. We talked a ton about him earlier. Love Bubba's course history here. I love the form that he's coming in on. And stick with me here because I know he didn't have a great performance last week. He was 52nd last week, but he top 10 2 weeks ago at Charles Schwab Challenge. Harbortown just does not fit his game. Still made the cut, still played well, which is something that we haven't always seen from Bubba at courses that he doesn't like. So I think Bubba is playing pretty well at a golf course that he loves. I am in love with Bubba Watson this week, so I'm rostering him at 8,800.
Yeah, and I think you're right in this. For the DraftKings, you're right in that golden range, right in between the 9,200 mark with Justin Rose all the way down to about 8,800 with Bubba Watson. And I think that is right in the golden area where you can pick the five guys in that range are Rose, Morikawa, Answer, Casey, and Watson, who we mentioned. A couple of those guys have had really good records here at this course. Answer's been playing so well. Morikawa has yet to miss a cut on the tour, so you might as well roster him. And Rose has finished, I believe, top 10. No, he finished 14th last week, so top 15 in both events back since then. So I think the break was the definition of a benefit for Rose's game. So I think if you want to put him in, you can. But for me, my second cheapest guy is the third most expensive guy on DraftKings. That is Justin Thomas, who has not finished.
You're offering Bryson and JT.
Yes. I have three guys in my lineup that are below 7,000, and I actually have a couple other guys that I'll give for my value picks as well, who I think will end up making the cut. That way you can, just similar to how it has been, where you can build your lineup almost any way you want, because some of these value guys are going to end up having pretty good finishes.
I bet I can guess two of the guys you rostered.
Probably so.
And I bet they're both at exactly 6,500. Did you roster two guys that are at 6,500?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I think I can guess who they're both
on. And there's one more at 6,500 who I think will do well here too, but I didn't roster him because I like the other two a little bit more.
Okay, let's see, because I've got a 6,500 in my lineup too, so we'll see if we've got the same one. My third most expensive guy, I'm going Mark Leishman. Mark Leishman, good course history here. And he's played well this season. He's got a first, a second, and a third this season. He's won at this golf course. It was all the way back in 2012, but he's got an 11th here, a 9th here, a 17th, 21st last year. So Leishman plays this course well, and he's played really good golf this season. So give me Mark Leishman at 8,000. I think that's pretty good value.
Pretty good value. Missed the cut at Charles Schwab, the only event that he's played since the break. He didn't play at Harbortown. So
maybe he'll be fresh.
So he'll be fresh by that theory, absolutely. And like I said, the course record here. It'd be hard to go wrong with that pick. So my third most expensive guy, this was a real hard pick for me because I actually, my lineup, I still have $200 remaining salary. So I was right.
So
in the
do I. Weird.
Yeah, that is weird. So so I was right in the range of the low 8,000 mark. So I was debating between Woodland, Finau, Leishman, Joaquin Niemann, and the guy I ended up putting in my lineup, who is Matthew Fitzpatrick, who played pretty well last week. Played at Charles Schwab, finished 32nd. Charles Schwab finished 14th last week. From what I saw from him last week, I love the way that he's striking it. I think he'll be able to put it on the greens like we talked about. But the other guys I passed on, Woodland and Finau, both have played fairly well here. Niemann, I really like Niemann this week. He's played well since the break and finished 5th here last year. So I think that'd be a decent guy to roster. So I was right in that range where I've had all these different guys that I feel confident on, but had to strike on one. And out of all those, I'm going with Fitzpatrick at 8,100.
I like Fitzpatrick, but I like the guy that you mentioned who's $200 cheaper. And I've got 200 left, so I could go Fitzpatrick. I like Joaquin Niemann, man. I think Joaquin Niemann's playing really well. A win earlier this season, 32nd 2 weeks ago, 5th last week, 5th last year at the Travelers Championship. I think Niemann's playing good golf, and I wouldn't be shocked to see him win another event this week. I don't know that that's going to be this week, but I do think he'll be in contention, so I'm rostering Niemann as my fourth most expensive at 7,900.
Yeah, hopefully, we talked about on our last show, you know, that shot on 17, him ending up bogeying, hoping that doesn't, you know, keep in his head and him have a bad week. But for comparison's sakes, a guy that is at 7,900, who I bet a lot of people roster this week because of his form, who I would actually stay away from, is JT Poston, who we did like last week. But
how's his course history, Taylor?
He has missed the cut the three times he's played here.
0 for 3
on cuts. So cut, I will
cut.
I will stay away from Poston just from that. You know, if you played here once and had a miscut, that's, you know, there's can be a lot of different factors that go into that. But you know, you get on a course multiple times and you've still yet to see the weekend.
Yeah.
I think it's clear that it doesn't fit your eye. So while, you know, even he has great form, I just don't expect him to be out there contending, and for the exact same price.
Yeah, the scores he's been posting at this course, not very good.
Okay, man, your play on words is really good this weekend.
I love a bad pun.
And even a guy right below him, who I would pick way over Poston, is Ian Poulter at 7,800. So I just think for the value, I think that there's a lot of other players around him that I would pick instead of Poston. And I like your Niemann pick as well.
Yeah, so where were we at? That was my fourth most expensive. So your fourth most expensive. So you're down to your 6,500 guys now.
I'm out of my – well, I got – so I went with Fitzpatrick. I've got three guys in my lineup below 7,000. My first one, so it'd be my fourth most expensive, is had him last week as well. Got off to a really good start on Thursday. Had a bad start to his Friday round. Ended up missing the cut by one. Patrick Rogers. And he's played well. Like I said, that one bad round is kind of what did it in. Finished 14th at the Charles Schwab. I'll try to pull up his exact record here, but I know that he is.
That's pretty good here.
He's 5 for 5 on cuts here. He's played here last
five for five. 6. He missed the cut in 2012. Okay. But he's played at five of the last
2012.
6 years.
He was probably an amateur at that point. He's probably still in college.
Might have been.
So because he was fairly similar to our age. So
5 of the last 6 years he's made the cut here.
Yes. Yeah. So
including a top 3 in 2016 when he finished 3rd.
Yeah. Exactly, 3rd. So yeah, for 6,900, I like that with how he's been playing. I'm gonna roll with Rogers. Let me down. He had the front nine on his Friday round really set him back. He bogeyed, I think, 4 holes in a row and ended up missing the cut by 1. So that can be very wrenching. But maybe the few weeks or the few extra days gave him a little bit of break. And with really good course record here, I'm gonna lean towards that 6,900.
Yeah, I'm going for my fifth most expensive. I'm going with Scott Tway, who's just a phenomenal caddy. Brian Harman.
Yeah.
Brian Harman's playing well.
I love Brian Harman this week. Yes. 7,600. He's on my picks I like as well. 3 top 8s here since 2015.
Yeah, including a 3rd back in 2015, 8th last year, 6th the previous year. 2 made cuts in a row, 2 top 30s in a row. Brian Harman's playing well. And at 7,600, you look at some of the names around him, Scottie Scheffler, Kevin Kisner, Jason Day is 7,500.
I'm fading Day bad.
Fade Day until he proves he's still a golfer.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It proves that he can make it through a round.
Yeah, freaking Rocket Mortgage or somebody in Detroit teased a big announcement on a commitment last night. And it came out today. It's freaking Jason Day. I'm like, that's not big news.
It would have been big news back in 2015 or 2016. And I hope he gets his game back. Because, man, when he was on, he was fun to watch.
But he's missed the cut the last 2 weeks, and I don't think it's changing this week. So, anyway, love Brian Harman at 7,600. And not just because he has Scott Tway on the bag. So which one of your 6,500 guys you want to tell us about first? Tyler or Taylor?
Both of them. You know both of them right there. So I can break down into both of those guys why. Like, obviously, you know, he's fan of the friend of the show, Taylor Gooch, and we seem to pick him almost every week. He's 13 for 15 on cuts this year. You know, he did miss the cut last week at Harbortown, but I really like what I see. Like we talked about, that 175 to 225 range is really important on this course, and he's one of the best in the world at that range. So I expect him to definitely be able to see the weekend, unlike last week. And then you nailed it with Tyler Duncan as well. You know, 2 for 2 on cuts since the return, and 2 for 2 on cuts at this tournament. So I will lean both of those for that price.
Both of those in the last 2 years. It's not like that was back in 2014.
Correct.
2 years
in a row, he's a fairly young guy. And the other guy at 6,500 I did not roster, who I do like, is Vaughn Taylor. Made the cut last week and has a great record here. I pull it exactly up how many cuts he had, but he finished fourth last year.
He's played here all but 1 year since 2008. He only missed the cut one time with a top 10 and fourth here last year. So yep. Vaughn Taylor, good course history. I went with Tyler Duncan as well at 6,500. I was between Tyler Duncan and Taylor Gooch. The determining factor for me, Gooch did miss the cut last week. Tyler Duncan's made the cut the last 2 weeks, and Tyler Duncan's made the last 2 cuts at this course. Taylor Gooch played here once back in 2018 and did miss the cut at the Travelers. So while I don't think he will miss the cut, I did think Tyler Duncan was the safest play. So that's my last play at 6,500. So we've got, how much overlap do we have? Just Bryson and Tyler Duncan? Is that it?
I believe so, yeah. So my, yeah. I'll read down exactly. So
you give your full one, I'll give my full one.
My full one going from most expensive to cheapest. DeChambeau, JT, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Patrick Rogers, Taylor Gooch, Tyler Duncan.
Yeah, so mine from most expensive to least. I've got Bryson DeChambeau, Bubba Watson, Mark Leishman, Joaquin Neiman, Brian Harman, and Tyler Duncan.
And
so that's the winning lineup.
And so we both had, kind of interesting, we both had $200 extra remaining, you know.
Yeah.
And these are the picks that we think are best. And I went in and I thought it was best. So if you are doing your DraftKings lineup, don't be scared to leave, you know, a couple $100 out there, you know, if you're going to end up getting what you feel like is the best lineup. Because I feel like going through, you know, I was scrolling down and the guys in between the, you know, the like the 7,300 mark to the 7,000 mark, there's not very many guys I like in that range. So that's why, you know, it's one of those weeks to where, like I said, you can build a lineup really however, which way you want. But I went top heavy because there's so many cheaper guys that I like, you know, even if they were the same price as 7,000, I would like them more than some of these other guys that are listed up here. You know, like Kevin Na, 7,100, who we could tell at Charles Schwab, his back was messed up really horribly. So I'm definitely staying away from him.
Well, especially after he WD'd last week, that's your point.
Yeah, and
then
he WD'd and then, someone like Louis, who's 7,200, finished 55th at Charles Schwab, missed the cut last week at RBC.
You got any love for a guy who's on horrible form but loves the golf course? Kevin Streelman hasn't played a lot of good golf lately. He's missed the cut the last 2 weeks. But at Travelers, I mean, he's played it every year since 2008. He's missed the cut 3 times, but he's got 4 top 10s, including a win in 2014. He finished 15th here last year. So a guy loves the golf course, but really no form. So I kind of struggle with that.
Yeah, no, yeah. You got to find a happy medium here. And I mean, at 7,100, you know, like I said, I don't think, if I was betting, obviously, one, you know, if I had these three golfers that I had below 7,100, you know, I don't think all of them might beat Streelman. I wouldn't bet on that, but it would not surprise me, you know, especially for the value. I just think Tyler Duncan and Taylor Gooch at 6,500 and Patrick Rogers 6,900, just a lot better value than Streelman at 7,100, at least on paper right now, what it looks like.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Let's talk about the betting odds a little bit. A couple guys I like this week. So the two favorites, I guess Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau, depending on where you shop around for your odds, are all right in the 12-1 neighborhood. So 12-1 one's not great value, but if you are really bullish on one of those guys winning this week, you could take that. Last week's winner, Webb Simpson's 18-1. John Rahm is 18-1. These are not any guys that I'm playing this. I might put a little bit on Bryson. I might do like half a unit on Bryson as opposed to a full unit. But the guy that I really like this week, I've been bullish about in the entire show, still am. He's my pick to win this week, is Bubba Watson, and you're getting him at 32-1. You know, last week we talked about your dad bet Webb at 28-1. I put a little bit on it, so that was a good hit. I'd like to make it 2 weeks in a row with Bubba. Won here 3 times. He's on pretty good form, I think. So I'm rolling with Bubba this week. It's a tough guy to roll with. It's very much boom or bust, but I tried to go with the safe pick last week with Sungjae, and he shot about $1 billion over and missed the cut. Wasn't even close. So I'm going with Bubba.
Yeah, it's for a winner, I definitely think he'll be there. You know, you look at the list of guys who have won a tournament four times in their career, it's not very high. Billy Casper's won,
short list.
Billy Casper's won this tournament four times, so he would tie him for the record at this event. But normally, but like we mentioned, you know, Bubba's had how many ever tournaments where he's won multiple times at?
He only wins certain places, and this is one of them.
This is one of them. So I remember one year when the one and done first started, when he last won there, I was like, oh, he's won here twice. There's no way I can pick Bubba again. He's not going to win again. He's not going to win at this course. And what do you know? He won by like three or four shots or something like that. So what would you say his odds were, Colby? I see him at 28-1 here.
I'm showing him at 32-1.
I like that a lot better.
Yeah, shop around, try to find your best odds.
Shop around.
Yeah, because last week Webb was 25-1 in a lot of places, and I wound up getting him 28-1. And hey, that little extra little bit helps.
Here's a couple guys kind of in that tweener range. So I want to throw out there, see if you like two guys I see here at 33-1, Morikawa and Answer. Do you think this might be the week that one of them gets the breakthrough win?
No, I don't. Morikawa, you know, I love Morikawa. I think that what happened to him 2 weeks ago at Colonial, I think it rattled him a little bit. He didn't play very good golf last week. You know,
Still made the cut,
but finished 64th last week. You know, you get a 6-footer straight uphill to win on 18, you miss it, and then you get a 4-footer on the playoff hole to extend, you miss it. I think it rattled him a little bit, so I don't like that. As far as Answer goes, he played so well last week. I think that it is so hard for a guy who's not an elite player in the game to back up such a great week with another great week. And that's not to say that he won't top 10, top 15, whatever. I mean, he's finished 14 and second the last 2 weeks. Answer's on great form, and I do think he will get his win this year or next on the PGA Tour. I just don't think it'll be this week. So I wouldn't bet him, but if you wanted to roster him in DraftKings, I certainly would like Answer at 9,000 more than I would like Morikawa at 9,100.
Yeah, exactly.
Answer top 10 here last year, too. He finished 8th last year.
Exactly. TPC. Yeah, he's on my list of like as well. A couple other guys, I'm just kind of looking at the odds here. Who I would consider
past winner Jordan Spieth,
40-1. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, I'm seeing 45. But yeah,
you're man. Wherever you're looking at, man, I want to bet where you're at. 40
missed the cut last year, 42nd the year before, and then first in 2017 when he holed out from the bunker.
Yeah, and you know we talked about Spieth. You know he had such a good record at Colonial and finished bad last year there. Or had such a bad year last year, still finished pretty well at Colonial last year and was able to do well this year. Didn't play very well last week at the Heritage. And then now he's going to a place to where last year when he was off of form, missed the cut. And so I don't think he's gotten quite back onto the form that he's looking for. So definitely steering away from betting him. For DraftKings value, I'd probably stay away from him as well. A couple of the other guys here, we've already mentioned them in our show, that some of their odds. I got Joaquin Niemann at 50-1. I think that would be an awesome play.
I'm actually showing him at 40-1.
40. Exactly.
Especially once you get to higher odds, like you're not going to vary much around the guys who are 12-1. Those are all pretty close. But some of the longer odds, you can vary a lot. I think Joaquin Niemann is a really good play this week. I think if you're looking for like a real long shot, for the record, I wouldn't bet this guy this week. You might have seen it in your research for the pod, but most people, I guarantee you, could not tell us who won this golf tournament last year. Do you know who the defending champion is? Or did you even come across it in your research? Because you have to seek it out to find it.
Oh, God, I know it. It's so on the tip of my tongue, and I cannot...
I
want
to
do
it
without looking it up. That's the thing. I want to do it without looking it up, and I can't go ahead and spill
it. I had to look it up. I didn't know who it was. Chez Reavy.
That's right. Oh, God, I remember. He won by like 7 shots or something, too.
Oh, yeah, Chez went nuts last year.
And you know the reason I didn't remember that? He was the number one player picked in the one and done that week. And
yes,
I didn't pick him.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of stirred the pot a little bit. Some other guys that we mentioned who I think would actually have a decent chance to win. You put Brian Harmon in an ideal lineup.
That
I
was
really
my guy
like
for the mega value. Yeah. I'm showing it 70-1.
That's exactly what I'm seeing, 70-1 here. I would like that. Another guy, 70-1, I would consider betting is Corey Connors. You know, he's just a ball striking son of a gun. Has been playing pretty decent.
19th and 21st the last 2 weeks.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So I mean, I think that would be someone who you could lay on, and then he's 7,500 on DraftKings, so another guy that you could, if you're looking for, you know, kind of that big kind of return on investment, I think those would kind of be some of the players that you could go towards. And then, I mean, if we're going to scroll down, I'm going to try to find a guy here who's more than 100 to 1 to win, maybe might have a decent chance.
See, the guy, these are the way long shots.
Yeah. A couple guys, 100-1. Keegan Bradley, who has a pretty good record here, and then Billy Horschel.
Second last year for Keegan Bradley.
Second last year, and let's see, I have it in my notes here exactly. He's 9-for-9 on cuts here since 2011. Keegan is, and he's 7,400 on DraftKings.
Never missed a cut here.
Yeah, so for 7,400 on DraftKings, hasn't missed a cut here, and at 100-1 odds, he might be someone that you would be interested in laying a little bit of coin on.
Yeah, no doubt. You go way far down, you get a guy like Ryan Moore, 125-1. He's got four top tens here.
Yeah, but pretty good record here.
None since 2014. Did finish 15th here a year ago. If you're looking for something cheap in DraftKings, that might be a guy who you could go with. We need to get into our one and done picks for this week. You have about $186,000 lead on me in our one and done picks after you picked Bryson last week. Got you a T7, T8, whatever T8. It was, T8. I had Sungjae. I went with the safe pick, who proceeded to miss the cut for me. So thank you, Sungjae. I appreciate that. Of course, I'm saving Bryson for whenever he wins at Harding Park here about 6 weeks down the road. So I'll let you go first this week. You can lead us off since you're in... since you're way out in front.
I kind of gave a spoiler alert earlier. I'm going to go with Paul Casey. He hasn't played since the return of golf, but in five trips, no worse than 17th, or how many? I believe that's the number. So, but I know he hasn't finished worse than 17th here. A lot of other top fives finished second. 1 year has yet to win. Who knows what's been going on during the break for Casey? So it is slightly bit of a wild card. But at the same time, I think that, you know, it's just a place to where he just feels comfortable at. And I don't, you know, sort of like Bubba, you know, he doesn't really play bad here. Bubba has played, we've seen some form from him the last couple weeks, but I have a feeling that's the direction you're going in. I went with Paul Casey in our official one and done pool, which might be cursed, but I'm gonna go ahead and stick with it for this, for our pool.
Yeah, I don't think it's any surprise. I've been bullish on Bubba Watson the entire day in our season long one that we do online. I've already used Bubba, so I can't run him out this week. But for you and I's purposes here on the pod, I am going to use Bubba Watson this week. I'm really high on him. I think he's gonna win. He's my pick to win. And even if he doesn't win, I think he's going to top 10. So I think you've got a pretty high floor with Bubba Watson coming in. Good pairing. So he's not gonna hate the guys he's playing with. He's not going to be all crabby on Thursday and Friday. We can see Bubba get a little cranky from time to time.
Yeah. And crabby because a crab crawls under his ball in a bunker.
Very well done. Yep, didn't even mean to reference that. I'm rolling with Bubba this week. I got to make up some ground. I'm 186K behind, and we've only got 4 months left. 5 months left?
Well, all we have to do is pick a winner, hopefully. And all of a sudden someone's out $1.5 million ahead, you know? So, yeah. I mean, that's all it takes.
Also, if COVID shuts it down, whoever's ahead at shutdown wins.
Fair enough, but hopefully we're just not even going to assume that happens because that would be heartbreaking.
Hopefully that doesn't happen. Exactly. That would be...
I'll go through. We've pretty much hit on all the guys that I like, especially for their value. I'll give a couple other guys, and you can comment on them. Guy even cheaper than 6,500, who I had last week ended up making the cut. Harry Higgs, 6,400, 2 for 2 on cut since the return. So I think if you're looking for another cheap guy, if you want to go really, really top heavy, you could probably throw him in there. And then I'm trying to go through here, see some of the other guys. We already mentioned Corey Connors, Brian Harman, Leishman. I like him this week, and I want to know how you feel about him, Colby. What do you think about Sergio?
Sergio, man, it's so tough. He struck the ball incredibly well last week.
3 straight 65s to end the week.
Yep, struck the ball incredibly well. Hasn't played here since 2015. Has a runner-up here in 2014.
I'm going to say he's finished second and 25th the last two times he's played.
Missed the cut 2 weeks ago. I think I'm probably out on Sergio. He played great last week, but man, it was his first top 10 in a calendar year. On the PGA Tour. I don't know. 1 week to me is not enough form from Sergio for me to roster him anywhere. I can't do it because too high of a probability of a missed cut.
What do you think is not necessarily the ceiling on Sergio this week, but what do you think is a little bit above middle ground for him? Like if he played fairly decent, what finish do you think he'd have?
Fairly decent, T18, somewhere in that neighborhood.
I mean, that's still pretty good. I mean,
it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad, but, I mean, again, that's if he plays fairly good.
You want to make a wager on if he finishes in the top 25 or not?
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he'll finish outside the top 25.
Let's do a friendly wager. I'm one up on you on the Canes bet. We'll throw it on this.
Okay.
What do you say?
Yeah.
So you'll be able to get your redemption on this. I bet Sergio has finished his top 25 this week.
Sergio top 25 bet. I'm in on that. You want to see, by the way, Bryson's tee shot on 372 yard.
Sergio will probably finish T26, by the way.
That's Bryson's tee shot. You see the little shot link there? God, so much water. Oh, he just stepped up and nuked it over the green.
So it's a dog leg with water, so it's similar to like the sixth hole at Bay Hill or the fifth hole. It's the sixth hole. The Boomerang par 5, so where it's like it measures a long ways, but you can cut off the corner, and essentially the straight distance between two points is a straight line. So that's kind of the philosophy.
Yeah, so it's a 420-yard hole, but as the crow flies from tee box to green, I think you can carry it with about a 365 carry. So I think.
Oh, that's so. Yeah, I mean, I don't see why 365 carry.
Oh, that's ignorant. That's absolutely ignorant.
Well, and you have the whole pool. I mean, I can't remember this hole for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, tee box is, you see it there in the top right. I mean, you're going over water the whole way. You got the little traveler's umbrella out there, and most guys are probably going to take iron and bunt iron out in the fairway because that, I mean, that fairway looks like a narrow.
So it's
right
just
there,
one of those things. So it's like if you go for the green, you don't get it. You're re-teeing is what it looks
like.
Oh,
yeah, you're re-teeing. I mean, because your nearest point of entry is only 30 yards in front of the tee box probably, and you're dropping behind trees. So,
that's
yeah,
one hell of a risk. That's one hell of a risk-reward type thing.
I hope he's one back going to 17 tee on Sunday and just pumps pulls it out driver and just 10 cups.
Oh, boy, that would be awesome. That would
give me
be.
Another ball. Another ball. Another ball.
Another ball. Keep throwing them. So, Colby, I think I've hit on kind of essentially all the guys that
we've
that
given
I think
out so many winners today.
We it's have. If you're looking at value on DraftKings for 9,400, I'd probably stay away from DJ. I mean, we said that last week, but he finished 17th. But just for those other guys around him, like I said, Rose for $200 cheaper, even more Morikawa and Answer, Paul Casey, Bubba, all cheaper than DJ. I would lean towards them more than him. Guy right above him, 9,600 is Shoffley. I'm like I said, the other guys I think have a little bit more value than him. He did play pretty well on Sunday when he was a solo by himself. But like you said, maybe that finish at Charles Schwab at Colonial maybe might have flustered him. And maybe this could be the week where he rebounds and plays really well, or it might still be with him. That'll be interesting to see. So if you're looking at trying to build a top heavy lineup, those might be two guys that. Like I said, I think Shoffley will do better than DJ this week, but at the same time, Shoffley might be a guy that I, just kind of lean towards some of these cheaper guys who are a little bit better than him, who are in a little bit more form, especially after last week, and kind of like you mentioned, the heartbreak at Colonial,
Yeah, absolutely. All right, a lot of good stuff today, a lot of great picks. Let us know what you think. Find us 73rd Hole on social media. Call Bushwood, 405-224-1250. Get your spot for the Washita Valley. Call and get a tee time during the week. We were down there yesterday, a lot of fun. We'll be down there again on Friday, getting ready for the Washita Valley, the oldest tournament in the state of Oklahoma. 15,000 guaranteed in prizes going out this year amongst the flight. So give him a call, 405-224-1250. That is all for today. Enjoy the Travelers Championship. We're back Monday here on the 73rd hole. What's up, everybody? Just wanted to hop back on here right quick. Right as we got done and we were just fixing to post this podcast, I saw the stuff about potentially more COVID cases and Jay Monahan's press conference this afternoon. So 50 minutes ago, Brian Wacker on Twitter, who works for Golf Digest, Golf World, does some podcast playthrough golf. He's blue check mark on Twitter. He's verified this is the real deal. 50 minutes ago, he tweeted and said, breaking, sources have confirmed there are multiple positive tests for COVID-19 on the PGA Tour, in addition to the one reported earlier this morning. It's also been announced that PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan will hold a press conference at Travelers at 2 p.m. Eastern today, so Wednesday, so 1 o'clock our time here in Oklahoma. Also of note, player interviews have been canceled today as the Jay Monahan presser takes center stage. So I would imagine that we will get a lot more information as the day goes on, but we just wanted to hop in and let everybody know that we are aware of what's happening. So I would say if you're going to place bets like I am, just so that you don't have to deal with getting a refund, just in case, wait until after the presser.
Yeah. Well, it's this 1 o'clock. This is going to be something really important to look into. Like we said, they said an additional number. Everything's relative. So is it an additional one or two, or is it an additional 10 to 20? It kind of depends on exactly what the number is. But yeah, 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock our time. 2 o'clock Eastern. Definitely tune in. Did you say it was televised?
I haven't seen, but I'm assuming it will be on Golf Channel.
Maybe streaming on PGAtour.com. Right. There's got to be somewhere where we can find this interview, because I think this is going to be really crucial information to see what the next few weeks, especially of the tour, are. Because, I mean, obviously it'd be too hard for them to plan months ahead. But for the next few weeks, I think this 2 o'clock Eastern interview is going to be really important for the future of the PGA Tour this next few months, especially.
Yeah, we'll see what he has to say. Maybe he tells us that the event's canceled. Maybe he says that they're implementing new policies. We really don't know. Wouldn't be fair to speculate. But again, 1 o'clock our time, 2 o'clock Eastern today, Jay Monahan will have a press conference. No player press conferences today, and hopefully, fingers crossed, everyone we are watching golf tomorrow at TPC River Highlands in Cromwell, Connecticut.
Absolutely, no doubt about that. And we'll as the news comes in, we'll make sure to filter it through our social media pages. So if you're following us or aren't following us, make sure to go follow us, and we'll keep you guys up to date. As soon as we know the information, you guys will know as well.
Absolutely. 73rd Hole, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check us out. We'll try to pass the information along as soon as we get it. So we'll be keeping an eye out for that here in just about an hour and a half. So thanks for listening once again. We may be back Monday recapping golf. We may be back later in the week talking about where the PGA Tour goes from here. All eyes will be on the Jay Monahan press conference today here in just a little while.
And prayers out to the additional players. Absolutely. Or caddies, whoever it is that do have it, you know. So just that's the main thing. We talk about golf and wanting to have golf. We just want everyone to be safe and healthy.
Yeah, got to keep everyone safe. That is the number one priority. So, all right, just wanted to hop back in and get everyone updated on that. Thanks for listening. We're back at a time TBD with more 73rd Hole.